Welcome. If you're new, thanks for joining. And for those returning, I appreciate your listenership. This is The Truth Lies Between, and it's a podcast by Missing Person Cases Network. My name is Dee, and I am the host. I will be the only one on this episode. This episode is going back to Carly. Carly Gousset is the original case for why I created this podcast. And I was forced to stop the podcast early due to unforeseen circumstances, which I will get into in the following episode. This is a bonus episode. I'm going to be discussing the videos that the FBI has since released. There's about 5 or 6 out at the moment. I'm going to be going over 2.5 of those. I'm going to discuss one thing Melissa, the stepmother, says. Then I'm going to address the young brother, Cole, as well as the quote-unquote witness and what that witness's interview has done for my mindset and should be pretty much everyone else. And I'm only going to address one thing from Melissa's video because everything else has already been said. So if you don't follow us already, we're on Facebook at Missing Person Cases Network. Same with YouTube. Instagram is missing_persons_network. And Twitter is the_MPC network. So now let's get into the episode. Everybody has their own way of thinking and analyzing things. So I'd love your opinion as well as to the witness episode. Now, right off the bat, I noticed that Mr. Richard Eddy has some very selective memory. He remembers it was cold that day, but he doesn't remember what time he saw her. He says he just looked off through the picture window and saw someone walking. He does not confirm that it is Carly. And to be honest, if anything, to me, it seems like it may have been someone else. Melissa would also be considered a young lady to him. She is fairly young, around my age. Carly much younger, yes. But the one thing that he says that really, really just has me saying, ooh, is that 12 by 12 piece of paper. Now, that was brought up in my group when Melissa came in and was answering questions. That's when we first learned about whatever it was that she had in her hand. Melissa says it was her homework, but a 12 by 12 piece of paper could have easily been a printed off flyer of Carly. That maybe, hypothetically, speculating that possibly Melissa got up, went to look for her, and had the flyer in her hand. Or wanted to make it appear that way. Now, this is just the speculation. But there is one thing that Mr. Eddy says that I just cannot shake. And that's that he told her about that and he was never... It was never brought up again, he said. He said he hasn't, it's been 2 years, and that was the end of it. He just told Melissa what he saw that morning, and that was it. So does that mean the cops never questioned him? Does that mean the FBI never questioned him? Does that mean that the parents never asked him anything again? That's really, really bad. Let me know what you guys think, or if you picked up on that. Am I overthinking it? Or is that crazy?
Probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock. This happened a couple of years ago, so I'm just trying to guess at it. But I'd say between 6:30 and 7. And it was kind of chilly that morning, I remember. And for some reason, I looked out towards the street. I have big windows in the hot tub room. So I looked out towards the street, and I thought, that's unusual. There's a young girl walking by. She had long brown hair. She had clothes on. She had a white, I think, I can't even remember, but I think she had a white top and maybe gray bottoms or something. But she had clothes on, but it was kind of chilly, and I thought, that's kind of weird that she would be there. And she was waving a piece of paper. like a 12 by 12 piece of paper. She's just waving it in the air and walked by. Now,
later that morning, I think it was about 8 o'clock, maybe, I'm guessing, probably, that her mother says, "Have you seen my daughter?" And I told her the story that I had just seen a girl walk by, but I didn't know it was her. "Oh, that was her. I think you were the last one to see her." I said, "Well, I don't know. Well, I'll help you go look." So at that time, I had a side-by-side motorcycle. So I rode up into the canyon, which is straight over from my house, because I figured maybe that's where she would go, because I have two chairs set up in that little canyon. And there's a little fire pit there, and I shoot my guns down into the canyon. And I went over there, and she wasn't there. And by the time I came back, she was at my driveway, and I told her I didn't see anything. And she says, well, thank you very much. And that's about the last I really heard of the whole thing.
Another important point that I picked up on was he found out she was missing and he automatically went straight up to the canyon. And then when he came back, he said he didn't see anything. So does that mean that Melissa hadn't been searching? I'm very confused by that. Why were they waiting on him? Why was she waiting on him to go look? It's just very sketchy. Makes me very uneasy, the whole thing. And then I'm going to get into the little piece of Melissa's interview that really bothers me as well. And that's when she says they searched and searched for days, yet they only found a footprint. Now, that whole footprint thing was very important at the beginning. It was even mentioned on the Nancy Grace podcast, and I go into detail in it on the podcast that I did talking about that podcast. Because I think it's very important about the shoe. Only one shoe print. How do they know what shoe? They said that a few pairs of shoes were missing. These are all questions I have. Still, nothing has been answered. If anything, I have more questions now. What about you guys? Have you followed this case the whole way through? And if so, what are these videos doing for you? Are they raising more suspicion or less? For me, my red flags are going way up. Especially with the interview of that witness. The witness that corroborates Melissa's story pretty much. Because there's no one else to do it. And like I've always said since the beginning, I do believe that local law enforcement just straight up dropped the ball in this case. And they've been just trying to pick up the pieces since. And I see that quite a bit, unfortunately. Okay, next I'm going to get into Cole's video.
It's like my body's telling me that she's still here, but we have absolutely no clue in the right mind where. So my body's thinking, oh, she's here. We just don't see her. She's invisible. I don't know. Or she's gone. I don't know. She might, whatever I think about her and like where she would be, like most of my body says like she's like, I don't know, in Hawaii or somewhere on a beach or just having fun, hanging out with a bunch of new friends that she made when she was gone, and then she is coming back fine. And then the other little bit of part of me is like, she's probably dead. She got stolen and then she got, just a little bit of tiny me, like a handful of me is just feeling that, and then the rest of my body's just feeling good parts. So the bad part would be like she's getting abused or she's, I don't know. She's probably sitting in a dark room in a chair, tied up, just sitting there, dying of hunger, thirst, and light, and probably dead. Sorry.
I think many of you will be surprised at what I am about to say next. Now, we all just listened to Carly's little brother Cole and what he had to say. Now, for those who don't know and are not familiar with the case, Cole, along with another sibling, were at the house the night that Carly went missing, the night there was a commotion caught on video, audio, a night that, you know, something most likely went down. What exactly went down, we do not know. But between these videos and how she is placed on the FBI site in the sex trafficking section, really has me leaning to that as a high possibility. Now, I know, like everyone says, the stars would have had to align perfect for her to just so happen to be walking away at that exact time and somebody happening to come and see her as almost a crime of opportunity, unless she had been being groomed this whole time, which I don't think is what's going on, but I definitely think it's a possibility. I'm very torn between sex trafficking or possible foul play that took place in the house. It's really sad to see Cole like that. It's sad to see any of them like that. It's sad to see the dad the way he is. It's sad to see Melissa the way she is. I just went and looked. There's another video from her. And this is just torn their family completely apart. Their strength is admirable, though, because they're still together and they're still going. And I hope Carly is found. We're going to end with the Melissa last video that I just played. Let me know what you guys think. There'll be more videos and I will add them. Add new bonus episodes. But be ready for the RPAD VAS video that's coming up next. It's very important to this case.
When me and Zach met, I never thought we would get married and have kids. And when I got introduced to Kane and Carly, it was like, oh my God, these precious little babies. Like, and then we grew into a relationship and got pregnant, got married, had babies. And when I had my first son, I'll never forget it, the heartbreak on her face. Not because I had a baby, but because we drove her and Kane all the way to Las Vegas to see him. And she had a temperature, so she wasn't allowed to go in and see her new baby brother. And just the heartbreak on her face and in her heart. And she was so upset, like, I can't see my baby brother. But sure enough, the first day when I brought him home, she wouldn't put him down. Definitely always a good sister. I do feel like we're that damaged family.